Wow, she's so talented. Praise God. It's so beautiful to hear from the lips of the little baby. Yes, you did very good job. Thank you very much. Continue to do so for the God's glory. Yes. And may God richly bless your mommy and daddy. We have a privilege to be here this morning. Last night, my wife sent me a picture. She said, oh, we're missing many ladies here because we're right now at the Kona site at Waikoloa Beach Marriott Resort, and Sharon Ferguson is their speaker. Although she said, we have 75 ladies already, and some supposed to come today on Saturday. Although they already been so blessed with the good message, and she was saying, just pray for us as we will pray for you. And we really need to pray for one another because we are living in the last days. And as we received the message from Sharon Ferguson quick, they're really, really approaching this prayerfully. And I love to send my wife to the women's retreat because when she's coming, she's quite different after women's retreat, at least for the first couple of weeks, because she's reading more Bible, she's underlining, she's praying more diligently, and praise the Lord what is influencing so nicely. We really need to approach these retreats open-mindedly when we have opportunity, while we're still living in the land of freedom, with all the privileges, with all the money, with all the resources which we are receiving from the Lord. Today is going to be a slightly disturbing message, maybe not even slightly, because we are going to talk about the last days in our earth. And I really wish if we will approach this lecture really, really prayerfully, because it's not an easy topic to talk about, honestly. Let me pray first. Our merciful Heavenly Father, you came into this world and died for every single individual on the planet Earth, regardless of their religious affiliation. You're loving every one of us in your amazing way. But help us to love you and be open toward your message, especially in our last days. Bless us right now with your holy guidance and bless us with the Holy Spirit. We are praying in the name of Jesus. Amen. King Herod's wife, Herodias, hated John the Baptist. The prophet John the Baptist had dared to call her adulteress, and he did it openly. He had openly, publicly witnessed about this, what for living with her husband Philip and to marry his evil but quite a wealthier brother. And this is what happened to Herodias. And what she did immediately arranged, she wanted for John to be in prison, and it's happened very soon. And she asked even Herod just completely to kill him. This is what the Bible says. But it's saying in the Bible what Herod was postponing and trying to find a way because he believed what John the Baptist is a man of God. Although something happened, and Herodias, she organized a party. Very nice and a special evil plan from the woman's side. She threw a party for Herod's birthday and invited all his friends, the nobles from his clan, to participate in this special occasion. And Salome was ready to dance right in this party. It's quite interesting what in the Bible we have only two occasions which are openly saying about birthday party. In our days, it's quite common and we are celebrating birthdays, yes? Celebrating birthday parties, it's kind of common and it's understandable. In Russia, this is what always people do. They're waiting for that special occasion, birthday, to celebrate. Although I notice here in North America, people are celebrating nicely when you're 16, 17, 21, great. But when you're getting older, people don't like it to celebrate. It's understandable. Although, In the Bible, we have two special places where we can see about the birthday occasion. One of them, in Genesis chapter 40. Genesis chapter 40, from verse 20 to 22, in the English Standard Version, it says, on the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, he made a feast for all his servants. Pharaoh, he had a birthday on his day in his kingdom. He had a party. And actually, Joseph interpreted the dream, what the Pharaoh's servant is going to be restored again after that birthday party. It's quite interesting what the second occasion, it's a Herod's birthday party. One in the Old Testament, one in the New Testament. And right here we can see how it's really happened according to Matthew chapter 14, verse 6. But then the Herod's birthday came, that the daughter of Herodias danced before the company and pleased Herod. This is what's happened in that party. Herodias hoped, but after then Herod had a few glasses of wine, and he would ask Salome what reward she wanted here in hands after the dancing. And it's exactly happened according to her evil plan. And it says even in the Bible what she received this opportunity. And he asked. And he asked, right now, I promise you with the oath, whatever you ask, I will give it to you. Quite often it's happening even in our days, when our mind, our evil mind, could be blurred with the evil why. And this is the topic for today. Because as a drunken guest started to applaud and enjoy the opportunity, what Herod right now made an oath, she immediately went to her mother and asked, what shall I ask? And she said, the head of John the Baptist. And nobody could do anything to save the life of John. And even Jesus postponed, and he went to another village prayerfully, because Jesus knew how John is going to end his life. And this is why we are talking about his life today in nowadays. When the time of the end will come, nobody is going to stop the persecution. Nobody is going to protect you directly from the human perspective. We are facing dangerous time. And this is what I wanted to share with you, because as she received the head of John the Baptist, all right, all the guests are simply amazed. But even Herod himself couldn't do anything according to his promise. What the other mother and the daughter team persecuted God's people in the Old Testament. Do we remember this? Yes, Jezebel. According to the first Kings chapter 18, Jezebel slew the prophets of the Lord, it says in the Bible. Jezebel with her daughter Athaliah. And this is says in the Bible, what they were both got as a team and worked together to slew all the faithful people. According to the 2 Kings chapter 11, verse 1. And then Athaliah saw that her son was dead. She arose and destroyed all the seed royal. It's quite interesting to see what, according to the book of Revelation, chapter 14, the Revelation is telling us about the message of the second angel. And the following, another angel saying, Babylon is fallen. That great city, because they made all nations drunk of the wine of the wrath of your fornication. In the last days, this message is straight important to you and me in an amazing way. Because Revelation 14:8 contains the urgent three angels' message. And we as a Seventh-day Adventist Church have a privilege to preach about this message to the whole entire world. While we are comparing how the other Christian churches preaching about Revelation 14, almost none of the Christian churches are talking about Book of Revelation, chapter 14 especially. What a privilege we have when God is inviting you and me to be involved in that movement and to go forward to share this three angels' message with the world. How does God symbolize Babylon in Revelation 17? The woman's are the great city that rules over the rules over the kings of the earth, according to Revelation 17:18. The woman that represent and symbolize the church here. As we all know, we have two women in the Revelation 17:18 and Revelation 12, pure and evil. And the pure woman represents the pure church. And it's so obvious in our days when we can see who is really faithful to the Lord and who is just playing games while they're still calling themselves as a Christians. An unfaithful woman represents a church that had departed from Scripture, departed from the truth. History tells us it was a pagan Rome that eventually turned over its authority, capital city, and power to the papal Rome. This message which I am addressing you this morning, it's quite straight, quite disturbing. But personally, I could tell you from the bottom of my heart, I have many, many friends from the Catholic Church. I have dear friends. I'm in a good relationship with them while we are calling each other and talking to each other. Although I'm not talking about people this morning, I simply would like to share with you once again about doctrinal points of view, about the teaching, and about the system. How important for us to remember how we need to be well prepared in the last days as we will share the good news with the others around the world and not be influenced by the wine or the fornication here, which promoting from the other denominations. March 13, millions will look at the chimney and waited for the black smoke or white. The whole world was admiring. Everything stopped. All the news are sharing only the one information. It's about the Vatican and the Pope right there. Who is going to be elected? A human being from Argentina was born in 1936, pronounced as a new Pope, and he chose the name Francis. Yes? We all remember? Yes. The whole world was filled with a wonder and followed the beast. This is what Revelation 13:3 is telling us. The inhabitants of the earth, whose names have not been written in the book of life from the creation of the world, will be astonished when they see the beast. The whole world was observing what is really going on right now, right in Europe. And with this picture, I will simply wanted to say the picture could share more than 1,000 words here. It's quite obvious when we can see the presidents from all over around the world bowing before the one individual. And moreover, if you will just simply look, then Paul II died. 5 presidents only from the United States were sitting in a straight row, bowing in honor before one individual. Oh, my beloved, we are living in a time when we can see in an amazing way the fulfillment of the prophecy. And so often we are questioning, oh, do I have a good enough message for myself from the Bible, my personal relationship with Jesus? Look what is really happening in the world as we will study the Bible. And it says right here, according to Revelation 17, Revelation 17. What other evidence from Revelation 17 proves that Babylon refers to a papal Rome? Revelation 17:3, it says, where I saw a woman sitting in a scarlet beast that was covered with blasphemous name and had 7 heads and 10 horns. I was simply astonished, should I say, ridiculously amazed to see how it's really happening in our days and people are not even noticing, because many, many other Christian denominations simply considering what we are all equal, living under one influence and working with one accord. The Pope is of so great dignity and so exalted that he is not a mere man, but as it were God and a vicar of God. Ferraris Ecclesiastic Dictionary. She dressed in purple and scarlet. According to the verse 4, Revelation 17. She called the mother, according to the verse 5. She has her harlot daughters. Vatican City, according to the 115-page encyclical document on ecumenism, referring the Pope's commitment to bring the gap with Protestants. And this is what is this church and the whole entire division is doing with the all Protestant churches. And the reason why I'm this sharing this with you, because when I'm going to the KCIF radio station, 90.3, and preaching about Jesus, reading the gospel, but I remember that moment when once I mentioned the same message in a few words right in the radio. And you should have seen the faces of all the other people over there from the other churches. They're getting so disturbed and confused. Why we as a Seventh-day Adventist are against? We are not against the human beings, but we are talking about the actual doctrinal teaching which they are promoting as a vine which is confusing the whole entire nations of this world. She has harlot daughters who also fallen. Look at this. This is what it says according to the James O'Brien. Observance of the Sunday instead of the Saturday remains as a reminder of the Mother Church, quite clear into the point, from which the non-Catholic sects broke away. Amazing. I remember when we were there, it was happened exactly 1 year ago in April 2012. We really enjoyed our trip from our conference. We had people from the different Seventh-day Adventist churches around the world, but from our conference, 23 people went, and all the pastors with their families had the privilege to walk right there. When you will see the lavish gold and amazing influence on your mental abilities and your feelings. And you can easily say, my wife said, wow, no doubt people are coming from the whole entire world to see and just be amazed by the lavish gold and amazing influence. Although I wanted to share with you what I had no idea what we are going to see sooner as we made few steps over there farther with our Dr. Darmstadt, who was our tour guide. And he shared with us that Lateran Palace in the same steps where Luther was claiming and said, oh, wow, what is really happening to me? I should be saved by grace, not but what I am doing here, because until today people are bowing on their knees in the presence of their own teaching right here. As they are coming to the front of the year, they will receive opportunity even to pay from their own pocket and buy indulgences until now, today. And you can read even these indulgences are available. You even use your credit cards now, pay for your sins to be removed. It's amazing what people are doing nowadays. Under this influence, we decided what we need to leave something. And we left for the God's glory, because maybe one soul is going to be saved, or maybe more, because we really need to profess and spread the good message, with the others. And these glow trucks, they're amazing. They are so handy. We really need to spend them more and more. But although Dr. Darmstadt immediately took us to the Jesuits temple. Have you ever heard about Jesuit temple? And now we're standing right by the door. I wanted for you to look at these images right here. Can you see what is really happening? How the man is trying to crush some others who are not obeying according to their rules or regulations. And this is just only the entrance. As we went into the altar inside the church, no doubt we are amazed by the gold and the old beauty. Although as we approach that image, the mother church is having a court, a whip, where she is trying to protect her own church. And look at all of these three individuals laying down. And actually, it's amazing. Taj was there with the amazing camera, because you can't get quite close to that to that image. But although statue beautiful, although Taj had the only camera which can zoom so close, and you can find what according to what Dr. Darmstadt told us, he said all the time you will find the secret message in all of these huge big images. Look at the secret image. I would like for you just to see right over here, and you will look at the book over here too. But let us see. Can you see little boy enjoying to pull up the pages? Pull up the pages from the Bible, newly translated. By whom? What do you think? Look inside. And here's the name. Luther. It's first Luther's Bible. And that little angel is pulling out the pages of the new translated Bible into the modern language. Luther, Calvin, and Zwingli, all three of them are persecuted by the Mother Church. Why? Because they officially and publicly proclaimed what they identified the Roman Catholic Church as the beast from the book of Revelation, chapter 17. We went outside. People are wandering around, enjoying their lives without even knowing what we are living really in the last days and what we are facing very soon. It's amazing for us. It's quite a disturbing message. As we went right in the same street where, as I just showed you, we went into the torture museum. Yes, exactly. This is what we said when we said, oh my gosh, when you will enter, you will see how the people being persecuted right from the doors over there in the torture museum, they're showing how they try to protect their truth and their message. Some of these tools are so uniquely and ingeniously designed to crush the spirit and the will of the human beings. To be honest with you, many of those tools, we spent about 3 hours over there in that museum. Many of those tools I cannot show to you because we have children and people are younger, 16 over here in our church. Although some of them I'm showing just simply for you to get an idea what I'm talking about those evil doers while they persecuted people to try to crush the spirit of the people and to reject their God and their faith in God, because they wanted to simply for the people to contest what we will obey the human being but not God himself. And here's the chair with all the spikes. Not an easy one, not a completely comfortable with all the spikes. And look at this wheel. It's called breaking with the wheel. They're trying to break your wheel in order for you not to worship God. And those wheels are quite, according to what the people explained us, they are from those dark ages. They're still remaining there. Nobody did them recently as a new wheels. They were from those days, and many people being killed right on those wheels. She persecuted and martyred the saints. This is what the book of Revelation is telling us. Amazing, as we went right Galileo place, simply because he pronounced this, the world is round, according to the book of Isaiah and according to what the Bible is teaching, he was burned at the stake. We need to keep in mind what we are living in the last days. And the same church, they're calling themselves as a church, amazing, pronounce the idea that the person is not dying, but simply going to be transferred to paradise or hell. Not biblical idea at all. Great numbers were driven from their inhabitants with their wives and children, stripped naked, many of them inhumanely massacred. The history of popes. Bergoglio, humble and amazing individual. But it's quite interesting what many denominations and Christian churches have no idea, not paying attention. What he chose his name Francis with the special purpose and reason, because to honor Saint Francis Xavier, one of the founder of the Jesuit order. My beloved, this is what we need to remember about the history of Jesuits. Most people don't know what before a candidate could be fully received within the Jesuit order. He was required to make a solemn blood oath, pledging to infiltrate, undermine, and overthrow the Protestant religion. They were then charged by their superiors too. Look at this. Go ye then. It seemed like the words of Jesus in Matthew. Go therefore and baptize and teach, make disciples. They have a message right here. Go ye then into all the world to take possessions of all lands in the name of the Pope. He who will not accept his as the vicar of Jesus and his vice regent on earth, let him be accused and exterminated. She rules over the kings of the earth. And we are living in these days. And we're saying in our days, oh, it's a big deal. Should we worship on Sabbath or not? Should we be faithful in the small little things or not? It's exactly where we are fallen, where we need to be faithful until the end and quite open-minded toward the final message in the last days. According to the Revelation 17, verses 9 through 11, it says, there are seven kings, five are fallen. I really would like for you to go quickly into your Bibles. Open, please, Revelation 17. For a few minutes, I would like for you to see this message right from your own Bibles. Revelation 17, 9 through 11. There are seven kings, five are fallen. These kingdoms are the powers that persecuted God's people. The prophecies in the Bible do not deal with all the kingdoms of the planet. They deal with the kingdoms that directly affect God's people. In other words, it means on those days, China was a great empire during the time of Israel. But they are not in the Bible account. Why? Because they were not persecuting God's people on those days. Father, it seemed like with India was a great power in Jesus' day. Although we know about the North and the South America as well. Although they were not directly involved in the biblical explanation here. But the kingdoms who persecuted God's people, they were right here taken into the account. Five are falling. Five empires that have fallen during the period of Revelation. They were in the past. We can see right now they persecuted God's people. And it's Egypt persecuted God's people. Assyria persecuted God's people. Babylon, Medo-Persia, and Greece. They all persecuted God's people. And now we can see what it says here, five that were fallen. John, then he saw that vision. John, then he saw that vision in the book of Revelation. He was living in the Isle of Patmos. And he had no idea about the popes. In our days, many people are confusing us. Even the conservative Sabbath keepers confusing us, what we need to count our modern popes. And now it's the eighth pope. It's the final one. My dear beloved, we should not be confused by counting the popes only. We have the message from the Bible, Revelation 17, which is explaining to us those nations who persecuted in the time of John while he was in the Isle of Patmos. Although John was trying to explain to us what the final religious power is going to be, the eighth, which is in our days right now. And quite interesting, when I check from the book perspective, it coming to the point what we have eight popes in our days, according to how we will count them down. And in the same time, we have these eight powers in the time of John as well. And it means, from the both perspective, God is trying to show us something in an amazing way. And this is what I found recently in the Great Controversy, page 234. The first triumphs of the Reformation passed. Rome summoned new forces, hoping to accomplish its destruction. At this time, the Order of the Jesuits was created. The most cruel and scrupulous, powerful, all the champions of the poverty. It's exactly what Sister White is telling to all of us. In the last days, this Jesuits form is going to be recreated again. And it's exactly what happened on March 13 recently. I know it's not for the recording, but at least on February, Jesuits already took all the power from the Vatican on February already. And very soon after that, the Pope Benedict XVI resigned. Prior before that, it's quite interesting what, while I was in Wisconsin, one of our speaker and delegate who came from the General Conference, pastor, he asked us not to reveal his name on those days, but right now I can even openly share about what he shared with us, because Pope Benedict XVI is not already in power. Although, prior before he became a pope, during the John Paul II, our Seventh-day Adventist General Conference received one invitation after another, three special letters to send representatives from the General Conference to Vatican to meet with the Pope and talk. For 1 year and a half, they were postponing and didn't want to go because they were not sure. Prayfully, they approached that, very prayfully. And they decided and organized a committee. All three individuals whom the General Conference chose, they all had high education, very devout individuals, and all three talk different languages, Spanish, English, and French. At least they all had ability to communicate easily, directly, with the high officials over there. And they said, as they only arrived to the airport, they took a taxi and went to Vatican. They decided to go. They decided to go and see what this invitation is about. And as they were saying, they were standing by the huge, big doors. I've been over there, huge, big doors. The whole wall is around the Vatican. It's like a little, small, amazing, less than 1,000 people living. It's a whole entire power, and that little location is dominating the whole entire world. As we were standing right by those doors, he was saying, the doors were opened. We were out of taxi. And they asked who we are. We introduced ourselves. Immediately, the limo came and took them inside the Vatican. They provided for them the nice vegetarian supper, vegetarian meal in the morning for breakfast. They showed them all the lavish gold around. And around 11 o'clock, we had a session to talk about why Seventh-day Adventists are against their message, which presenting from the Pope and the Catholic Church. Discussion went quite peacefully in the beginning. And they wanted to continue on discussion for the next time in another place and location. This is what our pastors agreed upon. But we cannot come anymore to Vatican, but let's meet somebody in a neutral ground. And the second time they met in Amsterdam. In Amsterdam, they had an open discussion about why the Catholic Church was losing some churches in Africa. And they're simply replacing their name title on their churches. It used to be Catholic yesterday. The priest went on vacation during that time. Evangelistic program happened. And immediately the next month, this is a Seventh-day Adventist church now. All the village got converted. And because of these issues, they debated and discussed a lot. Although until that time, the person who later became Benedict XVI, he was a cardinal at that time, who was directly talking to those our pastors. At one point he said, "Why are you trying to even negotiate with us over here?" During that time, while they were talking so preciously about some of the doctrinal points, how we believe on the basis of the Bible, they were raising up their catechism, but catechism is much more important than the Bible. And during that time, that's quite a funny story, the mosquito sat on the table, and he smashed that mosquito, the Pope who became Benedict XVI. "Guys, you would like for us to do the same with you?" And that word spread around throughout the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Yes, we are so small. We're just a small movement. Just few of us in comparison to those billions who call themselves as the Catholics. Although we have the message from the Bible. They stopped. Nobody went anymore for the third occasion to meet with them. Because everything was plain clear after that. But we were on the two different sides of the world. We really would like to follow with the Lord. And this is exactly what's happening according to the Great Controversy. Cut off from the earthly ties and human interest, dead to the claims of natural affections, reasons and conscience, holy silence, when they knew no rule, no tie, but that they of their order, no duty, but to extend its power. What is the meaning of the original, the name Babylon? We all know what about Babylon. We are talking about this right from the beginning of the Bible, from the book of Genesis. But this is what it says in Genesis 11. "Let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach into heaven." This is the pursuit of the human beings, to be higher than God and rule upon this earth. And what God did, He came down, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and confound their language. But they may not understand one another's speech. Therefore, it means the Babylon, it's a confusion, then they confound. And the Lord confound them with another language. How does that God describe Babylon in urging His people to leave from the Babylon in our days? What should we do? How we can help the others? How we protect ourselves from this evil message, which is really disturbing our minds and confusing us? How does God describe Babylon in urging His people to leave? It means, according to Revelation 18, it says, from verses 2 to 4, "And he cried mighty with a strong voice, saying, Babylon is the great is fallen, it's become the habitations of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, come out of her." Every foul spirit, come out of her. Come out of her, my people. This is what God is trying to you and to me. God says that Babylon was fallen and became a home of devils and the evil spirit. Jesus repeatedly indicted with Babylon for making the world drunk with her wine. Now you understand what wine we are talking about? We are talking about what the Ten Commandments being absolutely reorganized. And some commandments been removed completely, where you can easily worship the image. And the Saturday became Sunday. Sacred rapture was introduced. Immorality of the soul was introduced. An eternal torment about the hell was introduced. Confessing your sins not to God, but to the priest was introduced. Child baptism was introduced. And confusion of tongues. This is what we are talking about, the doctrinal points. Having a golden cup and your hand full of abominations. It's exactly what the Bible is trying to clarify for us, what we are in the last days, when we will see the connection, when the one power, when the founder fathers fled from the Europe to escape religious and political persecution, they wanted and dreamed to establish a society which will be blessed and based on the principle of the civil and religious freedom. Government without a king and religion without a pope. So many Protestants are forgetting about this, not paying attention to, and not studying enough the message from the Bible for us who are living in the last days, how important for us, for the young and for the adults, to study the Word of God and treasure every single day while we still have freedom of our own religion. Freedom to worship God according to the prophecy. What drastic change will take place in the last days in this world? What is going to happen? According to the Revelation 16, verse 13, it's quite an interesting image. And I saw three unclean spirits, like frogs, came out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. Dragon, beast. And why it's frogs over here? As I studied this prayerfully, I found out it's quite an amazing message. Do you remember when the Israelites left Egypt? How many plagues over there Egypt experienced? 10 plagues. And devil and his evil spirits were counterfeiting all of them until that plague when all the frogs came out. Devil couldn't do the frogs on his days there. In our days, he wants to do it frogs today to show God what he improved his abilities. Beside this, it's showing about free spirits, yes? Free spirits, it says here. You remember what we, from the beginning of the Bible, know about God the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. They're all presented to all of us in one unit, in one accord, as free, amazing individuals, God himself, in free beings. But devil is saying, I have free spirits as well. Counterfeit. Exactly what he is doing in the last days. And we need to remember Revelation 16:14. For they are the spirits of devil, working miracles, which go forth into the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. No wonder why these spirits are deceiving the whole world right now, and the lightning is striking the actual Vatican. And all the people are amazed and say, what is going on in the world? My dear beloved, what will prevent God's end time people from being deceived? Do you have an answer? It says in the Bible, right here, Isaiah 8:20, to the law and to the testimony. There is no other answers to the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to the word, it's because there is no light in them. My dear beloved, we really need to study the Word of God. We really need to study, not because we must to study under the stress and pressure, because pastor is teaching here at the church what we need to go back to the Bible. Not at all. But because as you will pray and talk to Jesus, as you will be influenced by the Holy Spirit, you will have an amazing desire. Like for those evil people, when they run into smoking and drinking because of their desire to do so, you will have a clear and honest desire to run into the Word of God, to stay on your knees, to hold to your Bible, and to study and enjoy every single word which is coming from the lips of the Lord directly to you. Because He wants to save you, and He wants to save you for eternity. Because your response today, God is warning His people to flee out of Babylon into the society of His remnant church. Are we ready to do so today? Or we are so close and trying to associate with all the others, and they say, no, we should not be in such a distance from them. We are all sinful, we are all human beings. Let's try to do our best, at least somehow, to bring them closer to the Lord. You will never bring them on your own power. Pray more and study more diligently, and God will richly bless you. Because for my answer, I will simply say, he says to those who remain in Babylon, will partake of their sins and receive your plagues. Will you respond to his warning today? Yes. I will certainly say yes for me and my family, because I would like to serve the Lord and be saved for the God's glory. My dear beloved, we're living in the last days. If we are believing in this or not, study more, and you'll be simply amazed to see how faithful we need to be in the small little things while we are living day-to-day life, while we are worshiping on Sabbath and obeying the God's commandments, because he came and died for you and me, and he is loving you so much that he is eager to cross all the corridors of heaven to be back again as soon as possible, as only these all prophecies are going to be fulfilled completely. And I'm saying yes to me and my family. I'm going to serve the Lord. Let us pray together as we will stand and sing song. As we will sing our closing song, it's going to be our closing prayer after I sing the mighty power of God. Let's praise God from the bottom of our hearts. Number 88.